in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we get progressive revelations of the identity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, yesterday a very strange incident took place. I'm not talking about the patron's dinner. Very strange incident took place. It was in the late afternoon. There was we heard the sound of a helicopter, and that's not a strange incident because you hear a helicopter come from here and gradually go over there, or from here and go over there. Yesterday there was a sound of the helicopter above our street up in Radlett, and it wasn't going anywhere. It was just staying there. So my son came running in. He said, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a helicopter. There's a helicopter, and it's right above our street." And I looked, and it was a blue and yellow helicopter. Very exciting. It's a police helicopter. So I said, "Oh, maybe they're trying to catch some criminals. Should we go and have a look?" So we jumped in the car, and we drove off, burning rubber, to see exactly, you know. So there was six police cars, there was dogs, there was, you know, a whole frenzy going on. But we couldn't see anybody running away. Now I've got your attention, haven't I? I've got your attention, I've drawn you in. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I said, "Well, what's going on? We can't see anything." And people look as if there was a great level of concern. So we came back. And then the man inside the helicopter, the pilot, started making announcements. "Please stay inside your house." I thought this was something that only happens on movies or in America. But this is England. This is a leafy suburb of Radlett in the leafy South Hertfordshire countryside. And so I listened carefully for the next part of the message. I said, "There is a dangerous dog on the loose. For your own safety, please go inside your house." So, of course, at first I went, "Ha, dangerous dog." But I thought, well, hang on, it's either a man with a gun and they're telling us it's a dangerous dog because they don't want to frighten us too much, or it's a really dangerous dog with big teeth, so I better get inside the house. So we went inside the house. This analogy of the dangerous dog, everybody take caution, is an analogy used by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Okay, now I've got you, I've brought you in, and bring you into the text. He says that Kali Yuga itself is the dangerous dog. And if you're an innocent person, it doesn't matter. The dangerous dog could bite you as you're walking down the street. Now, you don't know when that dangerous dog is going to bite, but bite it will. The dangerous dog doesn't know when it's going to bite. It's motivated by unseen forces. It could go this way, it could go that way. One of the delightful persons who cooked the dinner last night, Krishnapurna Mataji, she was bitten by a dangerous dog in Vrindavan. She just had her hand by her side and she saw the dog, but she didn't think too much of it. And the dog bit her on the hand. Why? No reason. No reason at all. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, this is Kali Yuga. You're innocent. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just walking down the street. You're behaving yourself. But Kali Yuga immediately bites. It could be anything. He says, so take care. He said, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the person who has chased away the mad dog of Kali Yuga. He is Kali Bhayanasana. He's the person who's taken away that fear. He's the man with the megaphone who's above everything saying, be cautious. Kali Yuga is here. And in the dense darkness of Kali Yuga, there is a solution. There's a wonderful sort of ultimate scene in a book known as To Kill a Mockingbird. And in To Kill a Mockingbird, there is the sort of anti-hero of the story comes into the street. And nobody really likes him. He's a bit of a local pariah. And he comes into the street, and it's him that shoots the mad dog that's threatening the whole village, and then he goes back inside his house. That's the story. So the relationship is to this person who doesn't seem as if he's doing anything useful, but then he comes into the street and then he kills the mad dog. And that's more or less the end of the book, I think, isn't it? It's kind of how the book... So this phenomenon of... is it a phone call? This phenomenon of being a mad dog on the loose, or even a madman with a gun, this is analogous to Kali Yuga. And as the innocent bystanders, it could attack at any time. But there's the third principle. The third principle is the man in the helicopter telling us, get out of the way. There is a mad dog on the loose. Sachi, Hare Krishna. There is a... I've already done the Bengali, sorry. There was a young boy who was in front of his guru, and the guru was telling him about the Paramatma. And he was telling him how the Paramatma is inside us all, and who gives us instructions from deep within the heart. So the boy thought, okay, this I've learned from my guru. So with the slightly imperfect knowledge, he went out into the street. And in the street, it was India. There wasn't a mad dog, there was a mad elephant. Sometimes during the mating season, or when they have drunk some spirit, they become a little maddened. And a mad elephant is even worse than a mad dog. Not only will they attack you, let me tell you this story. I digress. I'm just trying to keep Sutapa entertained before he has to go away. I'm playing a game. How many stories can I tell that he has to write down in his notebook before he leaves? So on Pariyatra, we had an elephant known as Lakshmi. And because I was inadequately prepared, we were traveling through Andhra Pradesh. And every night I used to have, being a Westerner, I wanted a little extra comfort. So every night I would take the blanket off the elephant, fold it up, and I would go to sleep on the blanket. Ah, brahmachari life, what can I say? So Lakshmi the elephant was a very nice elephant. She was a lady, she was a good lady. But there was one brahmachari who used to, you know, he was provocative, and he used to like to joke with Lakshmi, and sometimes used to poke her with a stick. You do not poke someone who's bigger than you. This is the first lesson in Mahabharata. It says, do not attack an enemy who has more soldiers than you. Do not provoke a person who is stronger than you. Do not provoke a person, do not insult a person who is of a higher order, who can destroy your career, your fame, and your life. Not a good idea. But if you find someone who's bigger than him, then maybe you have an opportunity. So this devotee, he wasn't very intelligent. So one day Lakshmi had had enough. She had had enough. And with just a slight flick of her trunk, a trunk has more than 200 muscles in the trunk of an elephant. It's an amazing creation of Krishna. And 200 muscles, and she was using all 200 muscles on that day. So she wrapped her trunk around him, Cherisa, and she had him in just like that, on the floor, on his back, with her front right leg on his chest, just before anybody could do anything about it. And this brahmachari was pinned by the front leg of the elephant, towering above him now. And she's, I'll show you. I'll show you who you can poke with a stick. And it's not me. I'm the elephant. You're the brahmachari. And as long as we have that understanding, then I'm okay. But you've messed with me now. So she's flat. He's flat on the floor. And of course, as all the demons do in the Krishna book. He began to, you know, there was various physical transformations that began to take place that were very soon visible on the tarmac, on the hot Indian tarmac. So, of course, there was a backup of traffic and devotees were coming and the mahat was coming and trying to get the leg off the chest. Lakshmi was not having it. She was not moving. But then only when she wanted, a full 20 minutes later, after the boy had experienced such panic, you can't imagine. Because if an elephant can do that with you in just a few seconds, what can it do just by leaning forward slightly? Leaning forward slightly, your chest is no more. You know, the little ribs that protect your heart, no more. You see? And all we would have had left is a bit of, you know, brahmachari pizza on the hot Indian tarmac in the hot noonday sun. But anyway, she was pressing on his chest, but not as much to cause pain. That's how gentle elephants are. That's how delicate they are. And she lifted her leg, and of course there wasn't a scratch on him, not a bruise on him. Elephants are very, very, they're very... Another time, Lakshmi was going up what I thought was a cliff, what to me was a cliff. It was a 45-degree incline, maybe more than that, maybe 50-degree incline. And it was made of sharp slate. And I had difficulty walking on it, but because her legs were thick and leathery and the weight was spread out, she was just walking up what to me was a cliff, a place called Tapasya Kund. It's after Shantanu Kund, where Shantanu did his austerities to have Ganga come to him, which is 18 miles after Mathura, or 22 miles after Mathura. So you go another few miles and there's this Tapasya Kund, where there's yogis on top of a mountain. It's one of the only mountains in Vrindavan. Anyway, I'm deviating now. But the elephant. Anyway, so you don't mess. You don't mess with an elephant. Why did I get onto the elephant? Okay, so the boy did mess. The boy stood in the middle of the road, and the elephant was coming. And the man on the top of the elephant was saying, "Get out of the way! Get out of the way! She's gone mad! Get out! Get out! Get out!" And the boy said, "No, it's all right. My Gurudev told me that the supersoul within my heart is none different from Krishna, is none different from the supersoul in the elephant's heart. So because my guru told me that the supersoul, Paramatma, is always protecting me, then I know that that very same supersoul is inside the heart of the elephant and will tell the elephant to move away." And so the boy was crushed by the elephant. He was crushed by the elephant. And two broken legs and a broken arm later, he went to his Gurudev and he said, "Gurudev, what happened?" And the Gurudev said, "What do you mean, what happened? You were crushed by an elephant. Which part of that don't you understand?" he said, "Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Jai." He said, "Which part of that don't you understand?" He said, "Well, you told me that the Paramatma was our Anumanta. He was always protecting us. He's the Bhakta Rakshak. He's always protecting us, the Bhakta Pala. How is it that I was crushed?" He said, "Well," he said, "yes, it's true that the Paramatma is inside you. The Paramatma is inside the elephant, but the Paramatma is also inside the heart of the man who's on top of the elephant telling you to get out of the way." He said, "So you were looking for the Paramatma in the heart of the elephant to do something, but actually Paramatma in the heart of the man on top of the elephant was giving you the instruction, go away, get out, get out, get out. You were looking in the wrong place." The point is here that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the acharyas have given us this warning that Kali Yuga is a place with mad people doing mad things. And some of those mad people get to be leaders You see, some of these mad people get to be leaders and politicians and influential people in society. So a Vaishnava is a person who has to stay cool, has to stay cool in a very hot atmosphere, and look for the hand of Krishna always helping him in different ways. So in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear of the person who is Kalibayanasana, the person who has taken away the fear of Kali Yuga, who does two things. He travels and he tells people it's Kali Yuga. The Yuga Dharma is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if you take it, you will be, if you take this medicine, this Enechi Oshodi Maya, Nashi Baro Lagi, Harinama Maha Mantra, Lao Tumi Magi. If you take this medicine, you'll be protected. Swine flu is coming, another disease of Kali Yuga. Swine flu is coming. Take the medicine. What is the medicine? Bin it, catch it, kill it. That's the tantra. And the mantra. That's the mantra also. So how do you protect yourself? You take this medicine and you'll be all right. But what is Lord Chaitanya doing now? He's showing us that not only is the chanting of Hare Krishna protecting you from something, but it's restoring you to your full health. And what is your full health? Your full health is Satchit Ananda. Satchit Ananda. So he's taking away all the Bhavarog. He's taking away all the diseases of the age of Kali, because he's chasing away the Kali Kukur. The Kali Kukur is going when Kalibayanasana is coming in the street. He's the hero. So he's protecting you from that, but at the same time he's restoring you to full health. Not just being protected from Kali Yuga, not just I chant Hare Krishna up to the level where I feel good about myself, as sometimes people say, I've been chanting Hare Krishna a long time now, and you know, when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was feeling really upset. I was feeling really depressed. Now, I no longer feel depressed. I no longer feel upset. I feel good about myself. I have high self-esteem. And I can take my bead bag and I can put it to one side, because what I originally came to Krishna consciousness for has been accomplished. Or some people are even lower. You know, I had a bad drug problem when I first started chanting Hare Krishna. Now I would never touch drugs. So the chanting of Hare Krishna has done its job. Thank you, chanting of Hare Krishna. Now I feel I can go. You see. But if Lord Chaitanya had just come to say that the chanting of Hare Krishna was enough to protect you from the mad dog of Kali Yuga, which is outside of you, and the mad dog of Kali Yuga, which is inside of you, then what would happen? Everybody who had become vaguely nice people would set aside the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and be vaguely nice people for the rest of their life. But actually this movement is not meant to produce vaguely nice people. You see? It's not meant to produce people who are polite only, or charitable only, or who have kind thoughts to other people, or who are free from psychological problems. You see? One time Prabhupada asked Achyutananda Swami to give a talk on the 10 offenses, and the example that he used for underestimating the holy name, or considering that the holy name is an exaggeration, was, he said, suppose the Queen of England comes to comes to Bhaktivedanta Manor. She comes to Bhaktivedanta. She finally says, we get a message from the palace. She's coming to open the Goshala. And our MC says, ladies and gentlemen, now announce our next guest, who's going to officially open the Goshala, the head of the 21st Division of the Worcester Rifles. I see. Or if he said, the patron saint of the Save the Children Fund. That's the truth. She is the patron saint, not patron saint. She is the patron of the Save the Children Fund. She's also the head of the 21st Worcester Rifles. But she has a long, 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 long list of titles. Chief of which is that she's the monarch of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, known as Her Majesty the Queen. Now, if you introduce her with anything less than the full title, it's considered to be offensive. So Achyutananda Swami, when he was asked by Prabhupada to give his example, he gave that example. He said, so you would not introduce the holy name of Krishna as being anything less than the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can take you from the lowest position and take you to the highest position and bring about the ultimate transformation in your life. So if you think that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is just to make you a nice person, or to make you polite, or to free you from the psychological hang-ups that you had when you first came to Krishna consciousness, you see, or to make you a better Hindu, you see, then you're underestimating the position of the holy names of Krishna. And because you're doing that, you may not get the full benefit. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his life and in his teachings, he said everything from the holy name of Krishna is to protect you from Kali Yuga. It's the perfection of, you know, it'll give you all the religiosity that you need. Everything is there. But it will take you all the way to the top. And what is the top? I'll show you what the top is in the Antya Leela. I'll show you what the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can do. So in this chapter, we get a revelation of the fullest extent of the ecstasies of love of God, which are possible for someone who chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, it may be that because Lord Chaitanya is personally manifesting the symptoms of love of Krishna manifested by Srimati Radharani, that only he can experience and demonstrate this Mahabhav. But Rupa Goswami says that someone who's chanting, just like us, a sadhana bhakta, can actually experience the anubhav and then the sattvika bhav. And Prabhupada said early on, he said that there are 8 transformations that come to a person who chants the Hare Krishna mantra. And these are as follows. And then he lists them. And then he says, in the beginning, all 8 transformations may not be present at the same time, but, does he say, Kishore, as time goes by, they will be experienced. There was a very nice photograph of Kishore Prabhu standing up against that wall, which appeared in the Borehamwood Times of about 1978. And I remember this picture because Kishore had the wampus, and he was obviously enjoying the kirtan. So he was like this, and his mouth was like this. And underneath it said, devotee going into ecstatic rapture, chanting in the Lechmore Heath Temple. Do you remember that, Kishore? I remember that. You know, I was looking at that picture, and I was thinking, yeah, he is, isn't he? I'll show it to you again. The first picture I saw of devotees in ecstatic rapture, because this is what we always used to tell people when they came to the temple. So one particular photographer in 1973 came to the Bury Place Temple, and he was taking pictures for a magazine that I used to read sometimes called Photographic Times or something like that. And it was a picture. All the titles, when I think of it now, were kind of wrong. There was a picture of Radha Landanishwar, and above them, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra. And then underneath, Gauranatai and the Parampara. And it said, members of the Hare Krishna royal family. And then there was a picture of a devotee called Dharmagoop. And Dharmagoop sometimes had very sleepy japa periods. And he used to wear a swami hat. So his head was completely like this. And then the title was Devotee in Deep Meditative Trance. So Devotee in Deep Meditative Trance. So what Lord Chaitanya asked Rupa Goswami to do was to outline what is deep meditative trance and what it's not. So in the latter portion, Rupa Goswami talks about the sattvika bhavas. And the sattvika bhavas are... oh, you're going now. God, it's just getting to the interesting bit. The sattvika bhavas are ecstatic states, which, unlike the anubhavas, one cannot control when they come. Prabhupada says that an anubhava is a state of ecstasy in which you agree to be taken over by that feeling. He says, let me sing. Now I will sing. Now I will enjoy this kirtan. Now I will allow this kirtan to influence me. Now I will feel some ecstasy here. But a sattvika bhava comes and you cannot control it. So Rupa Goswami describes them. And actually the sattvika bhavas are things that we sing about every day. When we sing the samsara prayers, we sing of these spiritual masters, sattvika bhavas, his ecstasies upon serving the Lord. Sattvika bhavas, sattvik does not in this case mean a person who's in sattva-guna will experience these bhavas, no. Sattva refers to vishuddha sattva. Vishuddha sattva is the state of spiritual purity. So when the heart becomes flooded by the spiritual influence of the internal potency of the Lord, then that love, that loving feeling will erupt, and there's nothing that you can do about it at that point, because according to which particular feeling you experience, it influences the mind. And then the mind influences the life airs, and the life airs, when they are disrupted by this feeling of intense emotion, they disturb the body in different ways. So there are 8 different ways, and we hear of these different ways. We have the... Why don't you repeat these just to keep you awake, because this is the scientific part. So kindly repeat. Stamba, being stunned. Sweda, perspiration. Romancha, what is it? Standing of the hair, you see? Goosebumps. Standing of the hair. Standing of the hair. Swarabeda, faltering voice. Kampa. Trembling, yeah. Why? Which 2 songs do we have kampa? Another samsara prayers, as in? Romancha, we just said. Romancha, kampa. And what comes after that? Ashru. Romancha, kampa, ashru. Romancha means hair standing. Kampa means, and ashru means crying. So every time when you chant the samsara prayers, we're describing the sattvika bhavas, the bodily transformations due to intense love of Krishna of the spiritual master. Vaivarnya, Changing color. Ashru. Tears. Pralaya. Devastation. Being devastated. Prabhupada says, these are eight symptoms of existential ecstatic love: becoming stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs on the body, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, changing of bodily color, shedding of tears, and devastation. Now, these are the eight symptoms of love of God. And love of God can be achieved by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Many, many years ago, back in 1970, when the Hare Krishna mantra was first done by George Harrison and the Radha Krishna Temple, there was a piece of paper that went in with every record as it was distributed all over the country. And it said, warning, warning. The chanting of this mantra can result in ecstasy. Eight types of ecstasy. And it listed them, I think. And it said, please chant the mantra very carefully. In other words, you're going to sing this song. You better be very careful. Are you ready to receive the reactions? The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra became very popular as people all over England experimented, as young people were experimenting with drugs. I was 14 at the time, and I was at a secondary school, and some friends had locked themselves in a room, and they didn't want me to come in. You see, and I heard them inside the room. And I couldn't, work out what. And I said, whoa, when they opened the door after break, it was just lunchtime or break time. I said, what were you doing? What were you doing? They said, well, we can't tell you. It's secret. I don't tell me, tell me. I said, we were saying the Hare Krishna song. I said, what? He said, because if you do that, you get all. And they went like this, woo. You get all woo, you get a bit drunk. I said, did it work? They said, no. So that first stimulated my interest in getting woo. And it works. I'm still a bit woo. So here's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is actually more than a little bit woo. He's actually demonstrating what happens to the physical body, although his physical body is not physical like ours, because he is God coming in human form and color, and he's coming to show the ultimate transformations that take place. So in this chapter we have a lot of transformations. So if you're feeling sleepy, please stand up, because I'm going to read a few. Maybe not all of them. Anyway, in this verse, he's saying, he's criticizing providence. And it's a funny word, this, providence. Gajendra the elephant uses this word, providence. Prabhupada says he uses this word, providence, because he doesn't actually understand the personality of Godhead. He doesn't actually understand that there's God, but he doesn't know who he's praying to. He doesn't know who's up there. But he hopes that someone is up there, because there's a crocodile chewing his leg. So when people get desperate, they pray to a God that they don't believe in. But in order to pray to a God that you don't believe in, you have to give that God a name. So it's not Krishna. It's not Jesus. So who is it? It's providence, which is really another way of saying fate. That part of the universe which delivers to us our fate. So the gopis, they didn't want to criticize Vishnu, who they understood to be God. They didn't want to criticize Krishna in this particular verse, because they loved him so much, and it was Krishna that they wanted back. But they do criticize providence in the verse before. They say, this is a verse from the Bhagavatam, and the gopis are saying, providence, you have no mercy. So already they're saying, providence, you're the one who does these things, But actually, it seems that you don't have any mercy because you bring people together, but before their desires have been fulfilled, you separate them. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. So then Lord Chaitanya continues in reading this section. He says, you don't know the purport of loving affairs. You obviously don't know how long it takes for people to really exchange feelings of love, because if you did know anything about love at all, you wouldn't separate us. You see? Krishna has gone from Vrindavan to Mathura, and we don't know when he's coming back, you see. But things are not, it's not as it should be. Not as it should be. He should be here, because we haven't had time to really tell him how much we love him, you see. He's just coming into the full bloom of youth, and we love him so much. Why have you taken him away? They had to blame someone. They started by blaming Lord Brahma. They say, Lord Brahma, why have you designed our eyelids so that every time we blink, we lose sight of Krishna for a fraction of a second? Why did you do that? You obviously don't understand. You obviously don't love Krishna yourself, because if you loved Krishna yourself, you wouldn't have created eyelids, because eyelids stop us from seeing Krishna. So what sort of a creator god are you? And you God, what do they call him? They call him anyway, it's Vishad. Yes. Vidhi. They call him Vidata. Vidata. So they're not saying Vishnu this time, they're not giving him a personality, they're calling Vidata, or Providence, or Vidhi, Providence. You know, whoever you are, we don't know who you are, but you're responsible for bringing us together with Krishna. So why did you do it if you knew that we were going to love Krishna so much and then separate us? Why did you do that? And now, Lord Chaitanya says, he's reciting this verse, he says, you're balaka saman, balak. You're just like a childish boy. You're just like a childish boy. And just as a childish boy doesn't understand grown-up loving affairs, you seem to have brought us together, and you're just whimsical. And now, if we ever get hold of you, this is the gopis are saying, you know, so they're talking about providence, that part of the Shakti of God that brings people together. If we ever get hold of you, we're going to teach you a lesson that you won't forget, right? So they're really, you know, it's a type of madness, because how can you address providence like this? But they're doing. And Lord Chaitanya is doing. Saying, you are very unkind. For you bring together in love people who rarely are in touch with each other. Then after you've made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you again spread them far apart. You're very childish, very whimsical. You're just having fun with us. You're so unkind. You reveal to us the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy. But after they've drunk that nectar for only a moment, you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin, because you thus took away what you gave in charity. You see? So someone gives you a present, and then a few seconds later, they take it away, and that makes you more angry than if you'd not been given a present by them. You know, if they hadn't given you any sort of present, you'd be a little upset. If you thought that they were your friend. But if they gave you the present and then took it away, that makes it even worse. Oh, misbehaved providence, as the gopis say, you may have some replies. This is how you might reply. If you say, Akrura is actually at fault, why are you angry with me? I'm not taking Krishna away. It's Akrura, the chariot driver, Krishna's uncle, who's taking Krishna away. Then I say to you, Providence, you have taken the form of Akrura and you've stolen Krishna away. No one else would behave like this. But this is the fault of my own destiny. They have a change of mood now. Why should I needlessly accuse you? There's no intimate relationship between you and me. Krishna, however, is my life and my soul. we who live together, it is we who live together, and it is he who has become so cruel. So, in their madness, they're saying, Providence, it's your fault, and if I ever catch you, you're going to get it. Then they're saying, hang on a minute. It's actually a Krura. No, wait. It's Providence in the form of a Krura. No. How can I possibly criticize anyone else? It's Krishna. Krishna has done this. You see? He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Did you know Krishna has no fear of killing women? Oh, let me tell you a few things about Krishna. Indeed, I'm dying for him, but he doesn't even turn back to look at me. You see him on the chariot? He's going on the chariot, Krishna and Balaram. We tried to stop the chariot, but now he's gone. And he doesn't even look back. He's on the chariot, but he's not peeping out the back to look at the gopis. You see? Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs. So then they're saying, and then of course later on in their madness, Radharani says, Krishna, you're just like a bee that goes from flower to flower. You just want what you want from the flower. There's no personal connection between you and the flower. And you treat it, you're a bee, and you treated us just like a flower. You came, you got what you want, you took what you wanted, and then you left. And now you're going. So then another expression. Yet why should I be angry with Krishna? It's the fault of my own misfortune. The fruit of my sinful activities has ripened, and therefore Krishna, who has always been dependent on my love, is now indifferent. That means my misfortune is very strong. Now that means they're going back to the same argument. You see, so like madness produces different arguments in as many minutes. Now they're going right back to karma, destiny. Because it's destiny, and it's destiny because of my own misfortune. It must be something I did. You see? So now we're back to providence again. So this is a cycle of different arguing. And Lord Chaitanya is reciting these. Now, unfortunately, what set Lord Chaitanya off? They were trying to control Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies because the physical transformations would become so strong that sometimes they were uncontrollable. And his feelings of separation were so great that he would rub his face against the wall in the Gambira room and he would be very much bruised and bloody. So they put Shankara Pandit in there in the Gambira room with the Lord, trying to sing songs of meeting. Shankara Pandit was a good singer, and he would sing songs of the gopis meeting Krishna. And with those songs, Lord Chaitanya would enter into that mood, that actually now we're at Kurukshetra, now we're all together again. Isn't this wonderful? Or isn't it nice we're here in this autumn night, the full moon is shining, the birds have stopped singing, but your flute is just like the singing of the birds, and it's calling my heart to dance with you. Isn't this wonderful? And then Lord Chaitanya would, things are all right. We were separated, but now we're no longer separated. Now we're back together again. But sometimes Shankara Pandit would fall asleep. He would fall asleep. And when he fell asleep, then that was a problem. So they used to have to protect the Lord from different people who would come to see him, because they might recite some poetry that would set it all off. But they couldn't really protect him from a song that was written by Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya wrote this song, and he sent it with Jagadananda Pandit all the way to Jagannath Puri. And when they read that song to Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya just became again uncontrollable. So the Antya Leela pastimes are characterized by Lord Chaitanya's for 18 years preaching by demonstration, as thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people come to see him and see what the chanting of Hare Krishna does within the person, and going home and then doing it themselves. And the wonderful thing is that he taught that it works, he showed that it works, and he gave these wonderful manifestations. And you can still go to this place. You can still go to the Gambira, and there you can see Lord Chaitanya's water pot and his blanket and his shoes, and you can see the place where Shankara Pandit sang to him, and where the Antilila, much of the Antilila, took place. So those things are still there. And then when you see cloth and shoes that belong to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a greater sense of connection. Sometimes Krishna becomes for us slightly more abstract. You see, we spend our life trying to think of Krishna. But when you see that Krishna's incarnation as the Gauranga avatar, he lived in this place, this is his place, these are his shoes, this is his cloth, you see. And if you're able to have that cloth upon your head or the shoes upon your head, as you are in some places, then this brings you closer to these particular pastimes that we're reading. Don't think that these ecstatic emotions cannot be experienced by any of us. They can. And the fact that we're all sitting here means that to a certain extent we have all felt something. Sometimes it is seen to be a reflection, you see, or a reflection of a reflection. But everybody must experience something in order to pick up their bead bag. If you don't get anything at all, and if you look at your bead bag and think, who put that there? What is that? You know, maybe it should be, you know, maybe I'll bring in one of these antiques experts to to examine it and tell me, you know, what it is, where it came from, and how much it's worth. The point is that the beads and the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, that is Krishna's greatest kindness upon us, that is our greatest friend. And so happiness is a warm bead bag. You have your beads, you have the holy name of Krishna, and that will instantly bring you closer to Krishna. Now the fact that it doesn't means that there's some other dominant thought process going on, some inner resistance. And that really is something that needs to be explored. And it can only be explored if it's admitted, which requires confidentiality, because no one likes to admit a weakness that they have, you see. But the whole business of spiritual life is admitting your weakness. Like Gajendra, you know, if you have a crocodile chewing your leg, you have to admit that you're helpless. If, as in the story I told you right at the very beginning, you have Lakshmi, the 3-ton elephant, standing on your chest, not crushing you, but she's perfectly capable of crushing you, you have to admit that you're helpless. If you're surrounded on all sides by the mad dog of Kali Yuga, you have to admit that you're helpless. One who cannot admit his helplessness is a person who cannot receive help. This is one of the secrets of spiritual life. Only when you agree to accept that you are a helpless person and that you can't make progress in spiritual life by yourself, that's when help will come. You see? And that's an inner transformation. It is actually an inner transformation. It's not something that you can pretend. But it's an inner transformation, which means, okay, now I have to get some expert help. If I cut myself, I can reach for a elastoplast. If I cut myself deeply or a long cut, then I'm helpless and I have to get help. I have to get extra help. If I break down at the side of the motorway and I have to change a tire, then I can just about do it. It's at that moment that I will curse my dhoti blowing in the wind, but I can just about change a tire. Okay? If it's anything else, then I have to admit that I'm helpless. But one thing they tell the RAC people and the AA people is if you're a woman taking a call from a male driver who's broken down at the side of the road, be very careful how you speak, because men never like to admit that they can't fix the engine of a car. But you just frame it, would you like some assistance, sir? Would you like some assistance in your attempts to fix the car? And then the man will say yes. If you say to a person, hello, sir, RAC, you're calling us because you've absolutely no idea how to fix your own car that's now broken because of your inattention, the man will just put the phone down. You see? But part of helping someone is to help them to save face. So if you go to someone and you say, are you telling me that you can't get the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra together every morning, the prescribed number of rounds, because of something you've done, because you're either A, too stupid to understand the philosophy, B, too resistant to change, to actually allow the transforming power of the Hare Krishna mantra to transform that stone heart that you've got, or three, that you think that you're so clever, you're purposefully avoiding the association of devotees who are even a little bit better than you, and now you've got some problem, and you're coming to me. Have I got that right? Now, that's the truth, perhaps. But because the truth hurts so much, nobody will ever, ever, ever enter into that. You see? So if you're trying to help a person, you have to be clever. You see? But the first thing, first qualification of helping other people is to allow yourself to be helped. Is to allow yourself to be helped. You see? I never went in hospital before. I never had nurses and doctors fussing around me before. I had to come to the point of saying, actually, I really need help. I really need help. I had to stop pretending that I had a little physical problem. And I had to, you know, do a bit of waking up to understand, you've got a big problem. And my mind was going, no, no, no. You see, I don't have a problem. I'm a devotee of Krishna. Krishna's the one who's my friend. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for a very long time. Krishna protected me. Krishna always protects his devotees. Therefore, I'm not sick. You see, I can't be sick. It's the other people who get sick. When the doctor came and he told me, he said, no, I'm sorry, you have cancer. I said, me? No. No, not me. See, I'm one of the good guys. Look, I wear a dhoti. Look, I've got tilak, right? Divyam shri harimandiradya tilakam kantam sumalanvitam vaksha shri harinama varana subagam kandam liptam punaha. I'm one of the good guys. I chant mantras. I get up in the morning. You see? It's one out of three people get cancer. Not the good guys. Not me. You know, I'm sorry. So that took a period of adjustment. Thank God the period of adjustment was sufficiently short to allow Krishna's arrangement to take place in the short time that he wanted it to. But the point here is, you can't get help unless you admit to yourself that you need help. But one of the dangers of spiritual life is that as soon as you experience taranga rangini, you stand on the shore of the ocean of nectar. You go paddling on the ocean of nectar and you experience just a little bit of pleasure. On the beach, you're still running around on the sand, but every so often the waves come in and you go, oh, Krishna consciousness is so nice. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that's a very dangerous position, because in that position, you think, I'm enjoying Krishna consciousness. I'm a pretty good devotee. Nothing can touch me. And so that is a very dangerous position. And it's at that point that one should also say, I really need help. I really need help. But we don't. And a sahaja is a person who experiences a little something and says, you know what? I may not need help ever again. I'm already there. I've already achieved something. And as soon as you think that, punar musik bhava. Punar musik bhava. Again, you become a mouse. So the whole point here is to admit, like the gopis do, as we chant every morning, Gopir batur parakamalayora dasa dasanu dasa. Huh? Oh, you don't chant it every morning. But yeah. Chanting. Not chanting, sorry. So repeating this, if you chant the Shikshastika, that's also spoken in the mood of the gopis, because Lord Chaitanya was in that mood. But it's a helpless mood. It's a helpless mood. It's not something that you can pretend to have, but at the same time, logically, you know, if you're squaring off with the mad dog of Kali Yuga, and you didn't follow the good advice of the man in the helicopter, you see, or the mad elephant of Kali Yuga, then the point is that helplessness is a very good thing to have. Ramanujacharya said you should be like the little kitten in the mouth of her mother. You see, don't try to be like the little monkey who's holding on to the back of her mum, because you've only got tiny little hands. You've only got tiny little hands. Don't try and hang on to Krishna consciousness with your own spiritual strength. But just make yourself helpless in the hands of Krishna. Like a little kitten. See the little kitten when they're being carried around? They're like this. You see? If you like that, Goptritve Varanam. This is very good. I'm helpless. And then help will come. Help will come to the helpless. Hare Krishna. There's no time for questions. I'm sorry, I have to run. But thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna.